Thank you, sir, for the invitation to be a part of this very amazing prayer line. I do not count it lightly. Anytime anyone asks me to speak, especially when they're asking about speaking the word of God, it is a very heavy and weighty responsibility. And I hope that over the next few moments, we can allow God to speak to us through his word. Amen. So let's just, if I could just pray real quick. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. I pray that you would bless your word. I pray that you would bless this word that you have given me in the name of the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, this is God establishing something here. He says, in verse two, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. That's verse four. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse five says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. That's verse six. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. In verse seven, he says, I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seeds after thee. I am teaching and speaking on the difference between a blessing and a covenant. In verse 8, the Bible says, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God. And in verse 9, the Bible says, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. There's that word again. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So we're hearing the term covenant, ladies and gentlemen, but God is belaboring the point because he wants them to understand the weightiness and gravity of this word covenant. In verse 10, the Bible says, the Lord says, this is my covenant. So it's not just that God is saying, I want you to be a part of the covenant, but God goes in deeper detail in verse 10 to explain what his covenant is, which ye shall keep, it goes on to say, between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now the Lord goes into great detail about the circumcision. He says, ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. God has established a framework and a landscape for Abraham that he was entering into a grave relationship called a covenant. And in 2021, we have got to be people of the covenant. We cannot be just people of the blessing. Let me go on just a few points further. In verse 12, the Bible says, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not thy seed, he that is born in the house, he that is born with thy money, must needs be circumcised. Verse 13 says, he said, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. God spent 14 verses explaining this thing called the covenant. How many people want to be a child of the covenant with the Lord? The Bible goes on to say in verse 14 that he says, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The Lord has used this term covenant all throughout this scripture setting. And what I want to establish and present to you today is that when Dr. Lamb asked me to speak to you, I labored with God. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to enter into a relationship with you of speaking to your people lightly. I appreciate and honor and respect the sons and daughters of God. And so I don't want to come in flippant and with just some cute little message. But I do feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to declare to my people. Genesis chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live for before thee. As everyone knows, Abraham and Sarah decided that they wanted to go off the track of God and try to work out the plan themselves. How many of us have ever went down that road? We are standing on the promises of God, but because his promises are delayed, we think that we need to go in and scientifically fix it. In verse 19, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Watch what God says next. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with him and his seed after him. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. As for Ishmael in verse 20, because in verse 18, the Bible says that Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael represents Abraham's disobedience. Ishmael represents us trying to figure it out by ourselves. Ishmael represents our fingerprints on the plan of God. And God says, as for Ishmael in verse 20, I have heard thee. Behold, watch what God says. I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But in verse 21, the clarion sound of what God has been saying, and he is belaboring through these verses, he says this, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. God says, I am a God of covenant. Surely I will bless Ishmael. And I see people, we've used that term in the church so loosely that it has lost its power. Surely I want the blessings of the Lord. Surely I want God to bless my home and bless my basket and bless my family and bless my car and bless my job. But let me tell you something. Blessings are momentary. Those equate to things. Those equate to moments in time. Those equate to things that the moth and the rust can corrupt. Blessings can dissipate. Blessings can go away. But covenants last forever. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm hurrying because I'm watching the clock. In Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. I know your phones are on mute, but just say, here I am. Yes, Lord. In verse 2, the Bible says, now take thy son. Now watch this. I want you guys to get this. In verse 2, he said, and he said, take now thine son. And then he goes on to expand on the point, thine only son, Isaac. This blows my mind every time I see it, because that's really not a true statement. Abraham had two sons at this point, Ishmael and Isaac. But God said, Ishmael represented your rebellion, and Ishmael represented your mistake. Ishmael represented your not trusting in me. But guess what? I want you to know that I will not even acknowledge your failure. I will not even remember your past when you enter into a place of covenant, because Isaac is the son of the covenant. And what I see is only the covenant before mine eyes. So he said, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, he said in chapter 22, verse 1, when God called him, Abraham said, here I am. Here I am. Genesis chapter 22, we see this story unfolding, laying out very clearly before our eyes, and it came to pass. It always does. And they came to that place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Listen, let me tell you something. We can clamorously be foolish before the Lord in our worship, but God is a God of order. Did you notice that Abraham, when he came to the Lord, he didn't just come to him flippantly. He came and put the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the wood. In verse 10, the Bible says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand to and took the knife to slay his son. I could not do this. I am flesh. I am human. I am nothing like Abraham. I've got 7 children and 8 grandchildren. There's no way, if God came to me in a visible form, I don't know that my humanity would not wrestle with him like Jacob and say, how could you possibly ask this of me, God? But Abraham, after he wrestled with his flesh, he realized that he was in a different capacity and he was dealing with a different God. He was not dealing with the God of blessings. He was dealing with the God of covenant. And so Abraham stretched forth his hand in verse 10 and took the knife to slay his son. Watch verse 11, ladies and gentlemen. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. I always marvel at these scriptures that have the calling of an individual twice. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Abraham, Abraham. Let me get personal. Donald, Donald. When God calls you twice, he's serious about his business, because guess what? He recognized that Abraham had understood the covenant. He was not interested in breaking the covenant. He was not looking for a way out. He didn't have a golden parachute that said, well, maybe God will find a way. And God knew that Abraham had taken the covenant so serious that he was going to follow through with God's command. And watch what the Bible says at the end of verse 11. When he said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am I. The Bible says he said, here am I. In the very first part of that scripture setting, in verse 22 and chapter 22 of verse 1, he says, behold, here I am. In verse 11, he says, here am I. The difference between these two phrases is monumental. When you say, behold, here I am, that's saying, God, you come to where I am. You meet me on my terms. You come to my proximity. You get on my location. You got to come to my geographical area. Here I am. If you want to come over here, here is where I am. But when he came down and realized that he was a part of the covenant, and the covenant was greater than his location, the covenant was greater than his pedigree. When Abraham was called again, he said, God, here am I. I don't present to you my location. I present to you myself. And in verse 12, Bible says, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Ishmael was a blessing. Ishmael, 12 nations came out of him. Ishmael was going to be a mighty man in valor. But Ishmael was a mistake. Ishmael represented diversion from God's plan. Ishmael was simply a blessing. Blessings dissipate. Because you see God saying, though I blessed him, I don't even acknowledge him
as something that was a part of you. You don't have two sons, Abraham. You have one, and his name is Isaac. Why did God do this? Because God is a God of covenant. We must be the people of the covenant. I hear so much. I've preached all over the world. I hear so much about people chasing the blessings of God. And yes, I want them. I told you I want them. I want my bank account overflowing. I want to live in the largest house I possibly can. I want my children to be blessed and have beautiful, bountiful families. I want blessings. I pray for blessings. I do. But let me just be clear. I have gotten a revelation from the Lord that I don't live for him because of his blessings. It's just like a marriage, ladies and gentlemen. Not every day in marriage is going to be rosy. Not every day in marriage is she going to be batting her eyelashes at you. Not every day is he going to be singing in his Barry White voice. No, marriage is not just about blessings. Marriage is not just about the marriage bed. Marriage is not just about going on trips and in honeymoons. Marriage is a covenant. That means you got to do your part and God will do his. God says, listen, I've established my covenant. I'm telling you that your seed will be as the sand of the seashore. I'm doing my part. I will not renege on my part. So Abraham, guess what? A covenant means I got to do my part. And God says, guess what? You got to do yours. When you're 90 years old, you got to circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. I can imagine they didn't have anesthesia. I can imagine they didn't go under when they had to go under the knife. And he's bringing it to his 15-year-old son. Oh, by the way, guess what, son? This is what covenant looks like. It costs you. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. And guess what? It means that you've got to stick with it. And here's what my message to you is. When the blessings aren't there, when the blessings fade away, when everything dissipates, when it falls apart around you. You are not a part of the Bless Me Club. You are a part of the covenant. God did this. This is why the earth does not flood anymore. Do you understand? Watch it. Because when God looked down and he saw Noah having sit on that boat for 150 days, he said, listen, I am not going to flood this earth anymore, but I got to make some covenants. I can't just say I'm not going to do it. I've got to make a covenant. So he made a covenant with the earth. He made a covenant with Noah, and he put a bow in the sky as a reminder of his covenant that he would never flood the earth. And sometimes when I see it raining, I think, Lord, please let the sun come out so God can see a rainbow somewhere in the earth. And he's reminded every time it rains. Do you guys know that it could potentially rain forever lest God not remember his covenant? He said, I'm going to do my part and you're going to do your part. Today, humanity is not living by the covenant. Today, humanity is living by the blessing. C.L. King came to tell you, we are people of the covenant. I want the covenant, ladies and gentlemen. I want my children to be children of the covenant. I want my home to be a home of covenant. I want my words to sound like words of covenant, not just words of blessing that the moth, the wind, and the rust drive.